Good evening and welcome to our online gospel mission coming to you from Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. We're having a special weekend of gospel meetings just to bring to each and every one the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, due to the conditions and what's going on in our land, we're unable to have our gospel mission in the church here for the 2 week period. But we are delighted that we can bring the gospel even over these means via Facebook and via YouTube. And it is our prayer that the Lord will richly bless you and even speak to your heart through the gospel preaching and singing over the next number of nights. Both Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night at 8 p.m, the Reverend William McRae is going to be singing and also preaching God's glorious message, even to the lost, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we do want to thank you for coming, for spending this time. We do pray that the Lord will speak to you, and that the Lord will have mercy upon your soul, even over these course of these meetings. May God bless each one as you listen to the Reverend McRae.
My soul was in sin. My heart was in shame.
Thank you for the privilege of sharing with us in this gospel mission. And I pray that God will richly bless you as you listen to God's precious and God's holy word. I want to read some verses from God's infallible truth in the book of Romans chapter 3. We'll commence to read at verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith unto them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, because being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We'll end our reading there. We know that God will add his blessing to his infallible truth for his name's sake. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee that thy word is truth, and that thy word is forever settled in heaven. Though heaven and earth may pass away, my word shall never pass away, for the word of God abideth forever. And I pray, O God, as we come to search the scriptures and understand the scriptures, that thou wilt grip our hearts, that thou wilt speak to us, O, by thy Holy Spirit, concerning eternal things, the things that really count, the things that really matter, the things of eternity. And so to this end, O God, I pray in Jesus' precious name that thou wilt cover me in the precious blood and fill me with thy Holy Spirit, that I might faithfully preach thy truth and glorify the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son. For we ask it for his name's sake. Amen. We live in a day and an age when people are concerned how others think about them. They say, well, how do you think I look? And of course, people get actually worked up and, in fact, sometimes get paranoid about how others see them. Quite often they put on a show. And yet they forget that man looks on the outward appearance, but God, when he looks upon us, God looketh on the heart. In the book of Genesis chapter 16, Hagar was by a fountain of water in the wilderness where she fled from Sarai. And she called the Lord that spake to her, thou God seest me. And friend, I want you to realize that tonight as you listen to me preach this word. Thou God seest me. God does not see you as you want others to see you. God does not see you as you even see yourself. But God sees you in the heart. For God examines the heart of man. And so the question I want to ask is this. What does God see when God looks into our hearts as we stand in our sin? The word of God tells us here in the book of Romans chapter 3, it says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Notice the words, we are all under sin and we have all sinned. We live in an age when men and women don't want to face that reality. that in the sight of God, when God looks in our heart, God sees us as sinners. The Bible tells us indeed that doesn't matter who we are, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that doeth good. Now, that's not man's estimation. Because how many people say, well, you know, I'm quite good. Measure me with other people. I think I'm quite good. But what does God say? Because you see, Amos the prophet cried out, prepare to meet thy God. And remember, it's that day when you stand before God. It's not what your family thought. It's not what you thought. It's what does God say? And what does the record of God prove concerning your heart? And God says, at best, each and every one of us are sinners in God's sight. Maybe you reject such a charge and you say, well, how dare you come on to the airwaves and tell me that I'm a sinner? Do you not know who I am? Friend, God knows all about you. God knows exactly who you are. God sees exactly where you are and how you stand before him. And in the state of nature, we are born in sin and we are shapen in iniquity. The Catechism asks the question, what is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. And people say, but listen, that's not me, that's somebody else. No, friend, that is you and me. Because we have sinned against a righteous and a holy God. We are born with the nature of sin. And therefore, we are sinners in the sight of holy God. You see, men and women say, well, but I'm not as big a sinner as somebody else is. It's not the amount of your sin. You see, the problem is that you and I were born with a sinful nature. And the natural thing for sinners to do is sin. Natural fact, that is why we need our sin dealt with. That's why we need our sin cleansed and covered and pardoned and forgiven. Because of ourselves, there's absolutely nothing that we can do about our hearts. Because at best, we are sinners. But what does that mean? When God looks upon us and sees our hearts that we are sinners, God sees us spiritually dead in sin. In the book of Ephesians, in the chapter 2, it says this, you hath he quickened, or you hath he made alive, who were dead. Notice the tense, you were dead. And every child of God, every saved person, can look in their past, and that's exactly where God found them. That's exactly where God, first of all, saw them. They were dead in their trespasses and in their sins. Not in their good works. In sin. In trespasses, transgressing, and breaking the law of God. You see, a dead person can do absolutely nothing for themselves. Yes, when a person is life in the morning, you rise and you wash yourself and you dress yourself and you feed yourself, do all those things. Why? Because you've got life, physical life. But a dead person does not wash themselves. Somebody else washes the body. A dead person doesn't dress himself. No, somebody else dresses the body. A dead person and even somebody else can't feed that person. Why? Because they're dead. And friends, spiritually speaking, in the sight of God, that's exactly how you stand in your sin. God sees you dead in your trespasses and in your sin. And therefore, you are absolutely incapable of doing anything to save yourself or to deal with your sin. It's absolutely impossible. And therefore, there is nothing that you can do that is good that will merit the favor in the sight of God. That's why that when God saves a person, he saves them by his grace. The undeserved, the unmerited favor of God. That's why the Bible tells us salvation is of the Lord. But friend, if you do not see your sinfulness, you'll never see your need of the Savior. And I asked you this question, do you see yourself as God sees you? Does you see yourself dead in your trespasses and in your sin? The Bible also tells us in the book of John's Gospel in the chapter number 8, it tells us concerning the view that God has of men and women and their standing before a righteous and a holy God. It says that, verily, verily, Jesus is speaking here, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, the slave, the bond slave of sin. In other words, the person as a sinner is under the domination, is under the control of sin. How many people say, you know, nobody will tell me what to do. I'm the master of my own life. Nothing's further from the truth, friend. Because the sinner is under the domination of sin. Do you remember the demon of Gadara? And he was there in the mountains and he was running and he was crying and he was cutting himself. He was in an awful state. And even people tried their best to break the chains. They tried to, first of all, fetter him, but he just tore them asunder, energized by the power of sin and energized by the power of the devil, under the domination of the devil. Why was he crying? He was hopeless. He was helpless. Why? Because he was a slave to a sin. Do you remember Jesus told him to go home and tell his friends? That's what he used to be. He used to have a home, but sin drove him out of his home. He lost his home. He lost his friends because of his sin. Why? Because he was under the domination. He was snared by. He was a slave to his sin. Maybe you say, well, that's not me. The Word of God tells us, whosoever committeth sin. Are you suggesting you have never committed sin? For Jesus said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant or the slave of sin. That's why, friend, you need to be delivered from your sin. Because of yourself, there is absolutely nothing you can do. But the picture is even worse. In the book of Romans, in the chapter number 8, it tells us in the verse number 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You're at enmity. You are at war with God, friend. Not only are you spiritually dead, not only are you a slave to sin, but you're an enemy of God. Enemies in your mind, the Bible tells us, Colossians 1:21, by wicked works. What an awful picture. That's the heart that God sees of the sinner. But then what does your sin do? Your sin separates you from God. Do you remember way back in the book of Genesis, it tells us that the voice of the Lord came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve had been in that garden. And my, there was a time when Adam and Eve had fellowship with God, and God walked and they talked together and fellowship together there in the garden. But when man sinned against God and deliberately rebelled against the way of God because of a sin, he went to hide from God. He didn't want to meet God. He didn't want to see God. Why? Because, my friend, he was acknowledging that he had sinned against God. And because of his sin, he was shamed of his sin and his nakedness. And he was fearful to meet God in his sin. That's why he tried to cover it up, himself up. And tried to make a covering for himself and hide his nakedness from God. But what a fool. For man can never hide themselves from God, and neither can you or I, friend. Thou, God, seest me, God and me. Maybe you've got your eyes on other people. The Bible says that the fear of man, it brings a snare. On that day when you stand before God, it'll not be you and other people. Listen, it's you and God, friend. And you stand in the presence of a righteous and a holy God of heaven. But you know, Adam sinned against God. And the Bible says God drove him from the garden. And that's why Isaiah the prophet cried out, your iniquities and sins and transgressions have separated between you and your God. The God that gave you life. The God that gave you breath. The God that formed you in your mother's womb. Your sin. No, I'm not talking about somebody else's sin. I'm not talking about sin in a general term. I'm talking about your sin. Because you see, that day when you stand before God, you'll not answer for somebody else. Just you. I remember years ago, there's a wee man that came to Macrofelt to the services. And you know, he came so for years and still he was unsaved. And I challenged him many times about his need of the Lord. But later on in his life, he was coming near, I didn't know when the end of the journey, but I knew he was coming past the 70 years and 10. And challenged him very personally about his need of God's salvation and why he was not saved. And he said to me, listen, preacher. He says, you see a woman that lives beside me? She goes to a local church not far from me. And she goes to the prayer meeting and she's got a big Bible under her arm, nearly bigger than herself. Now, no doubt he was exaggerating. But he was trying to cover up his own sinfulness. And so he pointed the finger at her and he says, if that's what Christianity is, I don't need it. I'm as good as her. And I looked at him and I said, my friend, the day that you meet God, you'll not answer for her. But you'll answer for you. What a reality. Your sin has separated between you and God. But friend, it's even darker than that. Because the Word of God tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 3, it tells us in verse number 18, he that believeth on him that's on Christ is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Not only does your sin separate you from God, but your sin has brought you under the condemnation of God. You're not waiting for the judgment. He that believeth not, the Bible says, is condemned already. And in your sin, friend, you stand before God condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why man is condemned, because of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 and verse number 36, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So what does God see, friend? He sees someone who is sinful. He sees someone who is a slave to a sin. He sees someone who's at enmity or spiteful against God. He sees someone who by his sin is separated from God. He sees someone who is under the sentence of God. The Word of God says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So you say to me, preacher, what can I do about this? You see, friend, you've got to recognize your need, the situation. What do I need? Well, if I'm sinful in the sight of God, what do I need? I need cleansing. I need cleansing from my sin. The stain of sin that's upon my soul, it needs to be taken away. You say, is there any answer for that? Praise God, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. I don't know what your sin is, friend, but God does. But I don't need to. Because your relationship is not with this preacher or the minister of this church. You need a personal relationship with God. And that is only through God's Son. Jesus said himself, John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You'll never get to heaven, my friend, through churchianity. You will never get to heaven through religiosity. You will never get to heaven through your good works. The best that you can do. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. Jesus Christ. For no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But you've got to have cleansing for your sinfulness. And I'm glad I'm able to say tonight, there's power in the blood. Though your sins be as scarlet, maybe there's people look at you and say, listen, there's no hope for you. Maybe my friend's sin has so enslaved you and so taken your life and corrupted your heart. And you say, as far as man's concerned, there's no hope for that. I want to tell you, praise God, there is. Thank God there's cleansing from the vilest, darkest sin. There's not a sin that is repented of, but the blood of Jesus Christ, praise God, is able to cleanse. If you repent of your sin, turn from your sin, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, praise God, there's cleansing through His blood. What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yes, for my sinfulness, I need cleansing. For my spiritual death, what do I need? I need spiritual life. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. Nicodemus was a religious man. He tithed. He was religious, member of the Sanhedrin. He was strict in his religious ritualism. But he was not right with God. And Jesus says, marvel not that I said unto you, religious Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And I'm saying to you tonight clearly, dear friend, you need the spiritual birth. You're dead in trespasses and in sin, and spiritually dead. There's absolutely nothing that you can do of yourself to give you life. That's why you need new life in Christ. That's why you've got to come to Jesus. What did Jesus say? I am come that ye might have life. That's why I came. And that you might have it more abundantly. I need spiritual life. On the 4th of June 1957, a little boy sitting in a gospel meeting cried out to God for God to save him. And he asked God to give him eternal life. And praise God, that's exactly what I got. The gift of God. Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You say tonight, but I'm under the bondage of sin. I'm a slave to sin. I've tried my best. I've tried to break the chains of my life and take away the sins that have so captivated me. What do you need, friend? You need liberated. You need set free. And what did Jesus say? What's the book say? He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. No matter how great the bondage that's upon your soul tonight of sin, no matter how many are the chains that bind you and enslave you in your sin and to your sin, thank God Jesus Christ can break every fetter and he can set you gloriously, wonderfully, eternally free. For he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Glorious freedom in Jesus Christ. Do you remember that old demoniac? Sin had bound him and he came running and fell down at the feet of Jesus and worshipped him. What the Word of God tells us, that the Lord Jesus Christ commanded Legion to leave him. And praise God, the demons of hell had got to go. One command of Christ. And thank God, old demonic Gadara was freed. The Bible tells us the people out of the city came to see what was done. And what did they see? A man that was running around naked, cutting himself, crying, hopeless, sin driving him, trying to even take his own life. And where was he sitting? Clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. Who made the difference, friend? Did the man break the chains himself? No. But praise God, Jesus did. And he's able to give you freedom, liberation from the power of your sin. I remember years ago a young man coming to my home in the early hours of a Sunday morning. He would thump upon the door, our front door, at 2 o'clock on that Sunday morning and want to come in. How many nights he did it. And when he came in and he sat down and he cried like a child, overcome by the booze. And he would cry and he'd say, "Preacher, I've tried. I've tried to break the chains, but I can't do it. I can't do it." Praise God, one night he came to Jesus and Jesus set him free. Yes, you're spiteful, at enmity with God, at war with God, friend. What do you need? You need to be reconciled to God. Thank God you're reconciled to God through the Savior's blood. Once you're at enmity with God, you know, whenever I look around many gospel meetings and I see people that I remember, they used to curse and, you know, oppose the things of God, and yet you see them now sitting and they're just praising the Lord. Once they were far off, but they've been brought nigh through the blood of Jesus. Sin separates. But thank God the blood brings you nigh to God. Sin will sentence you and damn you. But thank God, God pardons you. And through his blood. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What did Romans 8 say? There is therefore now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. Pardoned, forgiven. Where's the answer for sin? It's in a person. His name is Jesus. Do you remember the angel spoke to Joseph? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. And the angel said to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. And friend, I'm not asking you to try Jesus. I ask you to trust him. Trust Jesus. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now you may try your best to live a good life. Try your best to fulfill the laws of decency and morality as best you can. But what we read in Romans chapter 3, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that doeth good. And left to yourself as a sinner, there is none that seeketh after God. Oh, may the Spirit of God grip your heart tonight. May the Spirit of God show you your need tonight and give you the grace to come as a sinner to Jesus. In the 1800s, there was a great English preacher. His name was Charles Berry. You know, many people came from near and far to hear him because he was known as a great orator. One night, a young Lancashire girl with a shawl over her head and clogs in her feet knocked upon the preacher's door. She said, are you a minister? Yes. Then you must come quickly. I want you to get my mother in. Dr. Berry, thinking that her mother was a drunken mother out in the streets, he says, you must go and get a policeman. No, says the little girl, my mother's dying. You must come and get her into heaven. Dr. Berry dressed and followed that little girl for a mile and a half through the lonely streets in the night. And then he came into a little house, hovel. And there lying was a woman at the point of death. And he sat down beside her. And as he knelt down beside her, he told her how that good and kind Jesus, and how he was so loving, and how he could come and show her how to live. The dying woman said, Mister, that's no use for the likes of me. I'm a sinner. I've lived my life. Dying. I need something more. Dr. Berry looked back in his memory and remembered a mother's knee. He heard the story of the cross. And he told her the truth of how Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left heaven's glory, came down into the sin-cursed scene of time, died upon the cross of Calvary to shed his precious blood. But whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the dying woman says, that's it. That's it. That's what I need. And before she died, she put her trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Dr. Berry left that home, and this is what he said. I got her in, and blessed be God, I could end myself. That night, Dr. Berry got saved and got into Christ. And friends, it's not getting into the church. It's not getting into the sacraments. It's not getting into religious theories or philosophies. You need to be in Christ. Christ in me. The hope of glory. And my earnest prayer is that you'll not only see yourself as God sees you, a sinner, you'll see your need, and that you'll see that Christ is the only answer. Say, what do? You've got to come as a sinner. Just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And may I ask you, will you come to Jesus tonight? See, I'll think about it. No, friend. God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. Many a man, woman, young person left a gospel meeting thinking about it, and tonight they're in hell. But the devil wants you to put it off. God says, now is the accepted time. Now is your day of salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we pray that thou will speak to the hearts of those who are listening to this simple gospel message. We pray that, Lord, that you reveal to them their sinfulness, but reveal to them the beauty and the wonder and the glory of the Savior and of his mighty salvation. Saved from the guttermost to the uttermost. Save them now. In Jesus' name. Amen. May God help you to come now to Jesus Christ. God bless you.